Amen. Are you ready for Tuesday night sermon? I hope so. I'm like Jesus. I'm going to offend all of you before you leave. Look at somebody and say, he's going to offend you too. And before you leave tonight, you're going to know you've been had. You've been to Tuesday night service. But I hope to whip you with a noodle, a wet noodle tonight, to where you don't really feel it, but you know you've been whipped. Hallelujah. And God whips me before I whip you. I take the hardest whipping, I promise you. And he talks to me, and then I try to talk to you. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 34 through 41. Ezekiel 20, 34 through 41. The Lord is speaking to one of the major prophets here in the Old Testament concerning, there was, you might say, the old Israel and the new Israel. The old Israel did not go in and possess the land that the Lord told them to, so he raised up a new Israel, if you will, new children that would go in and possess the land. And he talks to them. He said, I will bring you out from the people and will scatter you out of the countries wherein you're scattered. And gather you, I'm sorry, will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out upon, of course, the enemy here. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod. I'm going to cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. If you want to be in the bond of the covenant, you must pass under the rod. And I will purge out from among you the rebels. Everyone say amen. I better keep on reading. And when that trespass against me, I'm going to purge out all those of them that trespass against me. And I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, meaning the first old Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye, every one his idols, and hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. Don't act like the old Israel that I rejected. Let's don't do what they did. I'm going to do the same thing for you, so don't make the same mistake that they made. But in mine holy mountain, and in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and your first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered. And I will be sanctified in you. Everyone say sanctified. I'm going to be sanctified in you before the heathen. They're going to know. You're going to know. I'm going to set you apart. I'm going to treat you so good. They're going to wish they had me. And I want to preach from really the part that says going under the rod and into the bond of the covenant. And I want to preach. They have a picture here of somebody who's under contract. Yeah, I thought I would be. Don't leave that up there too long. They can't take too much of me. But I want you to know that your pastor is under contract. And before this night's over, I want you to know you're under contract. Amen. Could we pray? God, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for your many blessings. I don't want to ever forget, God, where I was and where I could be if it had not been for your mercies. God, let me say along with David, I will continually look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. And I realize, God, you're not going to suffer my foot to be moved as long as I'm serving you. And I thank you, Lord, for all the things you've done for this church and this people, God. Help us to move up and onward and closer to you every service and every day. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Yes, sir, your pastor, you can take that off now. I don't think I want to see it anymore either. Your pastor is under contract. The Lord made a covenant, or a contract with the children of Israel, the first Israel, if you will, when they were in Egypt bondage. And he told them in this first covenant or contract, he said, you know, if you will obey me and you'll serve me and you'll live for me and obey my commandments, then I will do something for you. You make a commitment to me, I make a commitment to you, and you'll come under contract. We'll make a covenant, and I'll make an agreement with you, and I'll bring you. Here's the deal. I'll bring you to a piece of land. I'll bring you to a house that you didn't have to build. I'll bring you to a well you don't have to dig. I'll bring you to fruit trees that's already got the grapes on them, and all you had to do is go in and pick them. Somebody else does all the work. But my contract is you must not serve any other god. You can't put any other god before me. And let me just go ahead and say it so you'll know where I'm going. You can't put anything else before me because you're under contract. You're under contract. And if you break my contract, I don't have to lift up to mine either. I don't do it if you don't do it. But here's my deal. If you'll do it and obey me, then I will bring you into a land that flows with milk and honey. And you know, Israel in that day accepted him. They were under so much bondage. They were under so much pressure that anything sounded good. But if you ever noticed in the Bible how the Lord worked with extreme cases? I mean, when you think about all the things, the healings, the raising the dead, huh? Leprosy, dip in water 7 times, turning water into wine. All the things that God did was these extreme things to let us know that he can do anything short of that too. If he can do that, he can do anything short of that. So he's telling them, I'm going to show everybody, the heathen's going to know that I've sanctified you, that you're part of my people. And all I want you to do is to serve me under the terms of the contract. Anybody ever signed a contract before? You don't just sign your name. There's a contract. And it says you'll do this and I'll do that and you do this and I'll do that. And when you both agree, you sign the thing. And so when they had agreed to the contract, God began to work on their behalf. He said, man, I'll drive out your enemies. I'll send the hornets in there. It'll run them out. They'll run scared from the bees. And God began to work on their behalf. And so the Lord made a proclamation that under his terms, that everybody that agreed to those terms, and Moses said it, please stand up. Everyone who's on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. Everyone who agreed to the contract, he said, will be under the rule of Moses, and they must pass under the sea. To go under anything is to be baptized into it, because it is to be covered with it. And it was symbolic of letting us see and know that they had to be under total subjection to Moses. They had to be, if you cross the Red Sea, baby, don't you cross that Red Sea if you don't mean business. You wish you hadn't crossed that Red Sea if you want to drag those idols from over there. You wish you hadn't come across. You're going to breach my contract. I'll show you. You get over here. I'll starve you out. You get over here and bring some of that from over there. I'll show you. Now, if passing under the cloud of Moses and under the sea, by doing so, when they agreed to do that, and all of those stepped aside and they said, we're with you, Moses. Brother, you better be with him. If you're going to cross the Red Sea, you better mean business. They were all buried into this covenant. And they could not change their mind. They could not go back to Egypt. When they crossed over, he let the waters flow again. And the only thing that stopped them from going back was the waters wouldn't part to go the other way. Because they would have swam back if they could. They'd have rowed back if they could. They'd have caught the ferry if they could have. And the Lord made it so. No, no. When you sign this contract, buddy, you're falling into the hands of a living God. You need to know what you're doing before you sign this thing. I'm not playing church. He's not playing church. And we better not play in church. They agreed that they wanted what God had to offer. They made an agreement. And the children of Israel were under contract to God. And they would be the possessors of a land in which they would have the deed and the title to. And the children of Israel began, well, you see, when you're under contract, what somebody else says doesn't matter. They begin to listen to other folks. We could carry it. Oh, they have kings. Maybe we need kings. They have judges. No, no, no. You're under contract to God. And under God, he's the king. He's the lawgiver. He's the judge. You don't need all these things. We're under contract to him. You see, we're committed. And I want you to look at what happened to the children of Israel. God would keep his end of the bargain, but let's look at what Paul wrote. Paul looked back at the situation, and I'm just going to kind of read it this way. It's in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 1, but we'll call this letter, it's unto Carlos, okay? This is a letter he's writing to Carlos, Church of Carlos. However, brethren, or moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. I want you to know how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They were all under contract and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that flowed or followed them. And that rock is Christ. Anybody ever partaken of Christ? Anybody tasted of the power of the world to come? But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You see, God slew all of those that broke the contract, wishing they were back over there and had garlic and onions instead of manna, wishing that we had meat. And the Bible says while the meat was yet between their teeth, God began to slay them. He raised up another people that he hoped would keep their commitment to him. And in our text, God said, when we read our text, he said, I'm going to bring out another people. And you're scattered now, but I'm going to bring you back together into a wilderness place just like I did to them. Is anybody in the wilderness place right now? I'm telling you, when you get into the wilderness place, that's where God meets you face to face. He said, I'm going to bring you into the wilderness and I'll meet you there face to face. It's just going to be me and you, and the world can just go by. We don't have time to listen to anybody else. I'm going to put you under contract. And he said, I'm going to plead with you like I did with your fathers when I brought them out of Egypt bondage. And I'm going to do that. And I will cause you, this is that 27th verse, chapter 20 of Ezekiel. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Now, when they would pass something under the rod, it was to count them. If they had sheep, they would take their staff and they would have a gate. And as those sheep would come in, and sometimes they would put something maybe red or whatever, a dye on that. And every time that sheep would come in, he'd tap that sheep and it would come under the rod. And they would count each one that would go into their fold. And what some of the historians would say, when they got to 10, they took one out. There was a reason for that. And they'd count them again. They kept counting until finally they had their fold. And everything that went under the rod went into it was bound by the covenant. That was part of the sheepfold. And they were take care of those sheep. Everything that if you didn't come under the rod, you weren't bound to the covenant. You didn't get the benefit of the green grass and the still waters and all the things that was on the inside, that because you was bound to the covenant. But in order to get part of the covenant, you have to be counted. You have to come under the rod. Some people just don't like commitment. I don't know. I've just never understood that. People, they want to go here, there, and yonder, here, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and do such, and they don't want to come under the rod. But because when you come under the rod, you get the benefit of the covenant. Okay. I got to find out where I was at now so I don't read this to you again. Right here I am. In our text, he talks about coming under the rod, and he said, I will bring you out, those people that are scattered, and I'm going to bring you into a fold. You are going to come into a collective group where you can come together and worship as we are tonight. I've had people tell me that I've consulted with, I can live for God in my car. No, you can't. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. I can live for God at my house. No, you won't. Try it. You won't. You need to come under the rod and into the fold. And then Ezekiel 20 and 38, as we continue to read what I've already read, and I will purge out from among you the rebels. I tell you, I love this about God. I don't like trouble. I don't like backbiters. I don't like busybodies. I don't like people that talk about me to other people in the church. I don't like that. I don't do that to you. So I always pray, God, purge them out. One apple will spoil another one. And them that trespass against me, I will bring them forth out of the country wherein they sojourn and so forth and so on. I've read all this to you. And I want you to know, if you're going to go back on the contract, he lets them know that if you go back to your idols and to all these, you pollute my holy name and don't bring me your gifts anymore, quit using my name. Can I say it this way? Quit speaking in tongues. If you're going to drink Jack Daniels, quit drinking of the Holy Rock too. You can't have both of them. People think if they can speak in tongues, they're holy. You're so wrong. And he's letting them know, if you're going to be under contract and do all that other stuff they did, take my name off the sign, please. Make people think that I'm buying this house and I'm not. You didn't keep your side, I'm not keeping mine. Now, why didn't? I just don't understand. They did not realize. Oh, yeah, they realized that he was that spiritual rock because they drank of it. Boy, that was great when the water come out of the rock. But I want to read you a scripture that you need to remember. And this is where it's going to later get a little touchy, but you see, we know God is that rock, and we call him Jehovah Jireh. Sometimes we call him Nissan and Jaguar, and we call him all kinds of names. But I want to read you what got him in trouble, because you're under contract tonight. Exodus 34:14, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is capital Jealous, is a jealous God. Just call me Jealous. I wouldn't want to be married to somebody who wasn't jealous. Sister Stevens, you want your husband flirting with everybody at the McDonald's drive-thru? The window at the banks? I tell you, I don't even go with my wife through the window at the bank, because if I even speak to them, I said it too kind. I was flirting with them. But I thank you for that. Because that's the way you ought to be. They didn't realize he meant what he said. I won't. You're under contract. We signed a marriage license. And you know, I can't be flirting with everybody else in town and expect her to cook my meals and fix my clothes. Huh? God's the same way. But worse, a whole lot worse. They provoked God to wrath with jealousy. God was jealous because they served other gods who didn't do anything for them. People that flirt are flirting with people that didn't do anything for them. You can't flirt with the world and have God too. Sooner or later, you'll get in trouble. He was a jealous God. Because it was him that brought them out of bondage. It was him that got them out of their trouble. It was him that made you able to get a job to pay those bills you got too many of. And the Bible says it was him that did that, but they rose up to play. I want you to know, how many of y'all been baptized? Raise your hand, please. Just keep your hand up. You're under contract. you're under contract. They were baptized into Moses, they were under contract. If you cross the Red Sea, you're under contract. If you're going to take on his name, you're under contract. John the Baptist wouldn't even baptize anybody under repentance until they brought forth meat fruit for repentance. Show me you're repentant, then I'll dunk you. How much more should it be? He said, there's one coming after me whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to bear, and he will baptize you with the whole. You'll come under a better contract, a bigger contract, but you got to get this contract before you get that contract, and he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. If you think you're under a contract with just baptism, go ahead and get the Holy Ghost and see how much of a contract you're under. People that get the Holy Ghost and back out on their contracts are miserable folks. Back to 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now, these things were our examples, Carlos, church. These things about what they did to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Don't break your contract tonight. Neither be idolatrous. Don't put anything before God, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us tempt God, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. So I'll tell you, don't come under contract if you're not serious. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened unto them for in samples, for Carlos to understand that when you come under contract, you need to keep your commitment unto God. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And with us being baptized, many of us of the water, and of the Spirit, there is no greater contract to come under, because you are taking on Jesus Christ in the form of a death, a burial, and a resurrection. A man that did not sin and rose up, and he still hadn't sinned, and walked in the newness of life. Paul said the old man got to die and the new man has got to live and walk in the newness of life under a new contract. Galatians 3:27, for all you that have been baptized, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Obtaining a deed to your heavenly mansion is like obtaining a house in this life. When you want to obtain a house, you don't just go look in the paper and see an ad that says 3-bedroom house, 2 full baths, swimming pool, oh, that's everything I want, and send them a check in the mail. Come on. No, you're going to look around, check everything out, get somebody to inspect it. You want it in the best school district, low crime rate, close to your job. It meets all the ideal things for your earthly house. Well, folks, I'm under contract tonight, and I've already checked into it. I've already know that there's walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of gold. I already know there's nobody sunburned up there, for the Lamb is the light. You see, I'm already under contract to that land that he's prepared. I've got a mansion waiting on me, and I'm under contract. When you pay the earnest money for you that's bought a home and you sign the contract with the realtor, that realtor goes out there and he sticks another sign on top of the for sale sign that says, under contract. It ain't sold until it's sold. No. You don't, the sold sign don't go up till after the under contract sign goes. Because you see, you ain't sold out until you get there. Till payment's been made in full. But they put up a sign that says under contract over the for sale sign. And when it's under contract, it lets everybody know what your intentions are. You intend on paying the full price to get the house. I've already paid some earnest money. I've spent a lot of my years living for God. And I want to tell everybody here today, I can't listen to you to tell me that I don't need to do that anymore. I can't listen to you or anybody else. That's what I said. I don't want to offend anybody, but I can't listen to you. I got a contract that I made on March the 30th, 1966. That I'd live for God all the days of my life. I'd go wherever he'd send me. I'd do whatever he told me to do. I'd follow the leading of the Holy Ghost through hell or high water. And it doesn't matter if you think I don't need to do that anymore. Oh, Brother Baggett, it's all right. We can do that now. You go ahead and do that. But my soul's under contract. I've already made a commitment to God that I'm not going to do that. Y'all go ahead. Or anybody else who wants to do whatever it is you want to do, go ahead and do it. But my contract is my contract. And your contract is your contract. I'm not going to run you out of here with my contract. And you won't run me out with yours. We have to live together under each other's contract. Because I'm sold out. I'm trying to sell out into living for God. So I can't, my mansion's waiting for me. And I can't afford to let anybody else stir me up. So I might as well tell y'all where I stand tonight after 5 years of being here. You ought to know by now. You can wear whatever you want to wear. You can go wherever you want to go. You can do whatever you want to do, but I'm under contract. I'm under contract. It might be you see it different now, and you can wear that, and you can go there, and you can do those things. That's all right. I'm not going to preach y'all out, but I just leave me alone. I'm still under contract to what I promised God back there in 1966. The contract had never changed. He said, I got a mansion waiting for you, and this is what it's going to require of you, boy. And he knows what's best for me. So I better not break my contract. I better not go back and rebuild those things that I once destroyed, lest I be a transgressor and a sinner all over again. My God, I'm trying to get ready to present myself to God holy and acceptable, which is only my reasonable service. And you're under your contract, and I'm not trying to disturb yours tonight. My contract's between me and my owner, and I've already paid too much to ask him to go down on the price. He's already done too much for me to ask him to go down on the price. I think that some folks need to understand us old timers. I've seen some old timers become new timers. God bless y'all. But I want to tell you, I'm still an old timer. I still believe what my daddy taught me and my grandpa taught me. And I made a commitment. Now, maybe, Brother Peter, you don't have to do that anymore. I don't know. Maybe you get the Holy Ghost a different way. I don't know. Maybe you can speak in tongues and then go back in the world, do it. I don't know. But for me, and I just got to speak for me. I'm your pastor. For me, I got to do what my contract says. There's some things that it might be all right, but I can't do it. Lord, there's many days I was at the Big R, the Frosty there, and they said, hey, we're going to go down to the Purple Peacock down there. We're going to play a little foosball, shoot a little pool. Why don't you go with us? And I said, y'all go, but I'm under contract. I can't go. Y'all go. Have a good time. Don't forget to write. Call me if y'all win. I'll be excited with you. But I can't go. I'm under contract. There's a man that lives at 3610 Holly Hill Road that's under contract. He's still trying to sell out. I don't think I've paid too much to get what I'm getting. I think I got a bargain. For if a man gained the whole world, he goes to all the places, he does whatever he wants to do, raises Cain every place he goes, and he loses his soul, what good did it do? Maybe God knows I can't do it because I'd go too far with it. And maybe you can do it because you know where to stop, and maybe I don't. And maybe he knows where I need to stop. But can I talk to y'all a little bit more? Anybody still selling out, or is it just y'all already sold? You're already in heaven, or you still? I'm still selling out. I'm still selling out. I'm still, God still tells me, you know, need to work on that. I can't go back on my contract because I realize he's a jealous God. This is going to be rough, y'all. I just tell you, under my contract, he's jealous every time I listen to music that's not godly. He's jealous. Under my contract, he's jealous when I show up for work on time, but I'm late for church. He's jealous when I spend $50 eating out and put $5 in the offering plate. He's jealous when I tip the waiter more than I do him. He's jealous when I spend more time playing than I do praying. I'm just reading y'all my contract. He's jealous when I read more books from the world than I do of the Bible. He's jealous when I spend more time on the internet than I do entertaining him. He's jealous when I say I'm too tired to go to church when I have a padded pew I can sit on, but rather I sit at home and flip channels. He's jealous. Now, your contract might not include jealousy, but mine does. Too many people come under contract with God in their day of trouble. And when things get better and they get out of the bondage and they get out of the jam and they get out of their troubles and they get free, they start rebuilding the things that they once destroyed when God said, you do this, I'll do that. And you said, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. And then we rebuild. I'm telling you, whatever you committed to God the day you came to God is your contract. Some people only want to praise God when things are going right. Some people praise him based upon their emotions, if they feel like it tonight, if they don't have a headache tonight. But under my contract, y'all, I will praise the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be in my mind and in my mouth continually. I've got a contract to praise him through the good times, through the bad times, through the hell and the high water. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas looked at each other in jail and said, you got a contract? Yeah, I got a contract. Well, we might as well start saying, let's cut us an album right here. Boy, they got it put on the heavenly pages, didn't they? Singing a song at midnight only because they were under contract. Paul could write in a Philippian jail, rejoice, again I say rejoice, because I'm under contract with him. It doesn't matter what the world does, my contract is with him. You can't talk me out of my contract. I intend on making my calling and election sure. Hallelujah. They began to sing and the world began to shake. And it broke the bonds that held them, and they came out free. You see what happens when you stick to your contract? Hallelujah. Serving God does not exempt us from trouble, folks. Being under contract doesn't exempt you from tornadoes. There was houses that were under contract that Rita hit, just like the ones that weren't. Serving God and putting you under contract does not exempt you from hailstorms either. The H-E-L-L kind. And tonight, I don't care how much you can speak in tongues. I don't care if you can call fire down out of heaven and slay 400 prophets of Baal. The Lord had to look up old Elijah and said, where are you? You're under contract. Where are you? What are you doing in this cave? You're under contract to me. Come out of here. Come on. Well, if you're not going to do it, you go anoint Elisha. He'll do it. You're under contract. He was called to be a prophet. You better die a prophet. If he called me to the ministry, I better die preaching this gospel. My God. When God calls someone, quit worrying about what everybody else thinks. Our problem is we think too long before we act. That's why the words straightway and immediately and all those kind of quick words are in the Bible. Those that got their healing moved in a moment's notice. People that are under contract have to be ready to move. I'm telling you, if God calls you, come out of the house with one shoe on and one shoe off. If God calls you, don't have time to brush your hair, brush your teeth, and get the onions off your breath. Just get out of the house, go to somebody. You see, if Philip wouldn't have moved, the Bible said the Holy Ghost moved on him and said, go join yourself to the guy in the eunuch. He said, well, wait a minute, I need to change clothes if you don't mind. No, the Bible says he ran to that chariot and said, do you understand what you're reading? He had to get there in enough time that he was still reading from the book of Isaiah, lest he waited too long and he wasn't reading anymore. He said, no, I don't understand. He said, I just desire somebody to tell me. And he climbed up in the chariot and the man was converted because somebody was under contract. Praise the Lord. God won't make a contract with anybody who does anything to destroy the temple of God. Can I say that again? God will not make a contract with anybody who's going to destroy his temple. This is the house of God. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Know ye not that this house is under contract? I hope that I'm like Joshua tonight, and even for this church. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're under contract. You see, everybody that comes under the rod at my house is under my contract with God. They're going to live the way my contract is. My children know that. My wife knows that. We've got to live the way my contract is. I don't tell you how to live, and you don't tell me how to live. But I'll tell you what, I will tell you this. If you breach your contract, you're going to meet the fury of God. My Lord. We don't have to vote again this weekend, do we, Brother Stephen? Okay. As we stand tonight and they get a song ready, I want to sing, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. I'm like Joshua, y'all. I just want my house to be saved. I want everything that I count to be mine to be God's. You see, I can't afford to accept anybody else's offer. Sister Raynell, I want to tell you, anybody that comes to me and says you don't have to do it that way, they came too late. When the thing says under contract, a neighbor can call and say, hey, Susie, you the realtor? Oh, yeah, I'm the realtor. Well, let me tell you, I'll offer more money for that house. And she says, I'm sorry, it's under contract. Right. Oh, but you don't understand. I'm sorry I can't talk to you because the house is under contract. So I don't mean to be hard-headed tonight, but you can't change me from the things I've committed to God. I'm open-minded. Yes, I am. But, Lord, the things that I told God I'd do, there's no talking about that. No wonder Paul said these words, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But when you read the rest of it, he says, but some things I'm under contract. Some things are not expedient for me to do. You may can go there and stop and it don't bother you, but I say, I don't want to try it. I'm just preaching like a pastor tonight, Brother Johnson. Is that all right? Everybody's got to know their limitations. Whew. My God. Anybody else under contract? You're under contract tonight. Brother Charlie, you're too late. I'm sorry. Sister Raynell, you're too late. I'm still old fashioned. I'm sorry. I still like Amazing Grace. I'm sorry. I'm under contract. And Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. And Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free.